We want to start out with some questions to whoever may be listening. You found this podcast for a reason. You were looking for something. And I want you to ask yourself what that was. Why are you here? Why did you find this podcast? What are you looking for? And let's go even further. What do you want out of this podcast, out of life? What do you want? Do you want greater peace? Do you want a change? Do you want your kids to listen to you? Do you want more joy? Do you want more money? What are you looking for in your life? Do you wish you were different? Do you wish you were skinnier? Do you wish you were more patient and kind? Do you wish you were stronger? Who do you want to be and what do you want in life? And now that you're thinking about that, I want to ask you, if you listen to this podcast and follow the things that we're asking you to do, if you take this journey with us and we can get you the things that you want in your life, will you go on this journey with us? Will you come along so you can find what it is that you're looking for? You have to do the work. We're here to help, but you have to do the work. Will you come on this journey with us? If you're ready to go, welcome to You Already Are. I am your host, Alyssa Carlson, and this is my co-host,
Michael Gardner. And add to those comments, personally, I believe there's no accidents, that you are here for a purpose. You may not be consciously aware of that purpose, but you are here because you've been looking for something, and that maybe this is the opening or the doorway or
the gateway,
to for you to get what you came here for. We're here to assist you to find what you're looking for, to find the power you have within you to create what it is you want. So be open to the possibility that even if you feel like you just stumbled on this little podcast, there's a reason for it. And go along with us on the journey. See where it takes you. See where you take you.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah. When we were first starting this podcast, we want to talk about why we made this podcast. But before we do that, I want to touch on some things that we're not here to do. Okay. We're not here. We can't give you happiness. Like, we can't make these changes for you. We can't do the work for you. We're here to help you. And we're here to talk about some really great possibilities for you. That's our hope, right? But this is not a get rich quick. This is not a you're going to solve all my problems. We're not therapists, and we're not a parenting podcast. Even though we may touch on some struggles that parents go through, we're not a parenting podcast. Anything else you want to add to that, Michael?
Yeah, here to support you to discover more about who you are and your ability to create the life that you want, under the premise that you are more powerful than you believe. And if you believe you're already powerful, you're more powerful than that. So we are discovering within ourselves that we are more powerful than even we believe. Every time if we start a journey and we start at step one and we go to step 10 and we think that's the completion or the fulfillment of the journey, step 10 is step one to the next journey. So we're on that journey.
I love that. Yeah. I'll say this podcast, we're here to, you know, like Michael said, we're here to help you find the power within you. And we are on the same journey, which is what we love so much, is that we want to reach out and let people know, like, at everyday average Alyssa with, you know, children can be so much, and I am capable of so much more than I even realize. And so is Michael, right? We're here to help you realize that too. And we're all in this journey together. So I want to just touch on, let's introduce ourselves, me and Michael, and we'll talk about what's kind of brought us here to this podcast. Michael, let's have you go first. Tell me about your life, where you're at, what's brought you to this podcast, all of the things.
OK, Okay. Well, I grew up in Southern California, and I was kind of a geeky kid. I wasn't a techno nerd. We didn't have technology back then except TV. And even that, you had to get up and turn the channel manually. But I got teased a lot. I felt insecure. I felt not enough. And I went through high school kind of a, you know, if I were to go to a high school reunion, which I did once, half the people never even knew I went to that high school because they didn't know me. I did have a few things that were opportunities for me that I had always wanted to accomplish. I wanted to be a baseball player growing up. And when I was 19, I got invited to try out for the Angels. And I, you know, was very excited about that. I worked out. I practiced. But on the day of the tryout, I didn't even go. And the reason I didn't go was because I had already decided I wasn't going to make it. I wasn't good enough. And so I'll ever know. And, you know, that's something that when you live with that, it took me, I kicked myself for 17 years about that.
Wow.
Wondering what if. And I found a lot of people live in a what if world. What if I had done this? What if this had happened? What if that had happened? So about the age of 38, I got an opportunity to really closely examine my life and my beliefs that held me back. What were the beliefs that stopped me from going? What were the beliefs that stopped me from dating? I didn't have a date in high school because I was afraid every girl would say no.
Michael, what happened when you were 38 that led you to these questions?
Well, I went to a training experience. It was a 3-level training, 4 days, and then 6 weeks. But the first part was very intense. It was really challenging to look at myself, look at the beliefs I have, where did those beliefs come from, and what's the result of all that? And to, first of all, realize those are beliefs. They could be true, but maybe not. So really look at them from an honest perspective to find out what is and isn't true. And then to have some experiences where I actually got to experience myself greater than I ever thought I could be just in 4 days. And it was amazing. It was transformational. And in there, the first day, while the trainer was not very popular that first day, I was looking at this guy going, I'm going to do this. And it was just something I felt. This is what I'm going to do. I was doing accounting, and that was just a job. Every day I'd go to work going, there's got to be more to life than this. And I watched this man work the room, and I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. But my thought was, they don't like him. I want to be liked. That kept gnawing at me and gnawing at me. And then along the way, somebody from the company asked me if I would consider working with them. And I was like, yeah. And so I interviewed, and I gave up my secure job with benefits to go up to Salt Lake City and get a job with no benefits, probably a 40% cut in pay. But I never looked back. It was the most...
I want to ask why. Why?
Why?
Why were you so ready to give up what you were doing before this?
That's a great question. If you go back to, you know, my younger days, I got involved in politics because I felt like I wanted to make a difference in the world. I got a little disillusioned with politics because I was active in a particular party, and I realized after going to so many meetings of that their whole goal was to win, and it didn't matter if the person had the same values as I have, as long as they had the letter in front of their name as far as the party they were registered, That's what was important. And it's about power, and it just felt like, no, that's not what I want to do. But I'd always felt like I'm here to make a difference in the world. I don't know exactly what that is. But as I went through this experience, I realized everybody has a divine purpose. Not everybody's going to do what I did, but everybody has a divine purpose. We're all here for a reason. And I felt like part of mine was to be a catalyst of shift in people where they could realize their own power and their own purpose and their own vision and dreams. And so I spent 30 years for the most part in that work.
And it was more fulfilling and brought you greater happiness than if you had your accounting job that paid you more?
Well, for me, that accounting job, what I really saw in the future was I would just work looking forward to the day I retire. So at 30, that means I'm looking at 35 years. I'm hoping it goes by quickly so I can retire. But I also knew a lot of people that would retire and 2 weeks later they're dead. So yeah, that's kind of the view I had of where my life was going. With this, you know, the only reason I stopped doing it is because the doctor told me it's, I mean, these were long days. They're, you know, 15-hour days on your feet. When I was 40, I could do it. 50, I could do it. 60, but I got to be 65 and the doctor said, it'll kill me. And he said, you'd probably drop dead doing one of your trainings. Well, I love doing the trainings. I thought, hey, what's wrong with dying while you do what you love? But my wife didn't like that idea. So that's when we stopped and we moved out to South Carolina, where we live now. That's how I met you.
Yeah, that's how we met. It was the persistence of my husband.
Yes, very much so. What about you? What brought you here?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Let's talk a little bit about myself. So I am a mother of four children, a very young baby, a three-year-old, a six-year-old, and a seven-year-old. They're very young. And I am married to a man who is almost perfect. He's figured this whole mindset, this whole journey, this life of how to be happy, how to have joy, how to be fulfilled in whatever you're doing. He's figured it out. He figured it out a long time ago. This is just how he lives. But I married him when we were 21 and he was in the Navy. And our love story is one of the best out there. And I'll maybe share it on a different episode. But yeah, so I got married to him when I was 21 and he was in the Navy and we just moved all over the place, all across the country. I remember we moved like five times in like 3 years or something like that. It was crazy. It was like we went from Utah, which is where I'm originally from, to South Carolina for 6 months, to New York for 6 months, back to Utah for 3 months, and then up to Washington for 2 years. And then we did another cross country trip and we moved back to South Carolina. And that's where I met Michael. And now we are in Washington, Utah, which is near St. George, if anybody knows that area. But almost all through my life, I remember feeling pretty powerful when I was in high school, but I didn't have any obligations. When I was in high school, my parents paid for everything. My first job was when I was like 16 and it was a very small job, but I didn't have a care in the world. So I was, you know, on fire. But it was when, you know, reality hit and I moved out and I went to college and I realized, oh, you actually have to pay for things. And, oh, you know, you have to make decisions by yourself, that I lost myself. I was like, well, who am I in this world? And I've been struggling to figure that out for years. And because of that feeling lost and not really knowing what my purpose is, I changed degrees five or six times when I was going in college. And then I decided college isn't for me because I can't figure out what I want to do. So I stopped going and then went through some various experiences, got married, and then thought, hey, I should try something else. Went on another journey of education and then realized that it wasn't for me again. I've been searching for who I am for a really long time. And each experience that I've had has made me who I am today. And I feel like I've been fighting that for a long time of accepting my experiences as this is part of who I am. And it's okay that I hadn't been like, oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a teacher. I didn't know. And I am figuring it out still, but I'm way more comfortable and happy now. But before now, I struggled on and off with depression, whether it was postpartum depression or just normal depression. And I just didn't know who I was, where I belonged, if I was loved. I was not confident in myself. I have been told, this is a personal story. So I've been told my whole life from various family members that I'm pretty. And everybody's, oh, you're so pretty. And I started to identify as that. And if I wasn't pretty, I didn't have value. So anytime I felt ugly, anytime anybody made a comment about my hair or the way I dressed or whatever, I would feel awful because obviously I'm not worth anything if I'm not pretty, because that's what everybody says I am. So that's something that I've had to come to terms with, that I am not my looks. I am not pretty. Like, sure, I can feel pretty. I can feel beautiful, but that's not who I am. I'm not attached to that. And this journey that I've gone on has brought me to that point. But my whole life, my 31 years of life, that was a label that was placed on me in my head, that if you're not pretty, you're not worthy. You're not worth it, right? And I'm not saying that to brag. I hope you understand that. I'm saying that as like, it was hard for
me. Just own it. You're pretty.
But it was something that I attached my value to. And I feel like there are a lot of girls out there who do that, who attach their value to how they look. And it's not just people who are fat or want to be skinny. It's people who are skinny, who have been told they're pretty their whole life. Now, what happens if they're not? You know? So something to think about. Anyways, so getting off topic. I've been searching.
Can I add something though?
Sure.
Yeah, this, what you just described is so many people, even successful people, that live their life really not knowing what they want. So you went to college. I would imagine you were told, well, you go to college. Even though you had no clue why you wanted to go, people said, go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to college, but you didn't really know what you wanted. So we get driven and we form our fixed beliefs that I was alluding to earlier based on outside information. And we believe that's the real world and then we ignore what's going on inside of us. I'd be willing to bet when you're going to college, you didn't know what you wanted because you never asked yourself really, not really dug deep to find out, what do I want? This is what everybody tells me I want, but what do I want?
It was the shoulding. You know, everybody's shooting me. Like, you should go to college. You should be successful. You should make money. You know, like, you should do something that can do all of these things. Don't worry about what you like. Do what
that
can make
matter. You got to do what we say. And I would say that's really a big reason why we're here, is to assist people to find their own answers. But it's to find the divine inside of you, to find the true spirit of you. And then you naturally do, because that's who you are. So, so your story is a perfect example. See, when I was going out to Trout for baseball, that was something inside of me. But what ran me was all the voices that said, you're not good enough.
The
I
noise.
Didn't go to the tryout.
Yeah.
Because, oh no, there must be right. And I don't want to embarrass myself and go and then say, oh, I didn't make it. Of course, I'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, your story is a perfect example of how many times that's how, in my experience of people that I've worked with, they're doing what they do because it's something somebody else or many told them, this is what you should do.
Right.
And then
thank you.
Like, how come I'm not fulfilled?
Yeah. Why do I feel this way? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not happy? I should be happy. I did what I was supposed to. I have kids now. I have a family. It's a beautiful family. Why am I not happy?
Yes, it triggers the thought. When my mother passed away, she had cancer, stomach cancer.
Oh.
And thankfully, she went 2 weeks after she was diagnosed. But people, well-meaning people, I'm not being critical of them, but they come up and say what they should say, what they're told to say. Basically, you should be happy. She's in a better place. And I would thank them. But inside, I was hurting. I'm like, I'm not happy. I want to know if my mother's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be honest with myself. And no, I'm not happy. My mother died. And yeah, I believe she's in a better place, but I want to know. And I had an experience 3 days after she died that answered that I don't think I would have had I not been honest about my feelings where others were saying you should be happy.
Right.
And a lot of times I believe we do that because we don't want to face the pain of it ourselves. We don't think we can handle it. But I knew I could.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure that was hard. And I'm sure everybody who's gone through loss have felt like, all of these smiling faces of, oh, they're in a better place, you'll see them again, all this stuff. It's really easy to say that, but it does, you don't feel that when you're in the thick of it. But yeah, so yeah, I was lost. I was lost for a long time. And I went through a beautiful experience with my last baby. It was a hard experience. I suffered through pretty intense depression during my pregnancy, feeling really like, what am I doing here? What is the point of all of this? And I found some purpose in deciding to have an unmedicated birth for my first out of by four. And I felt amazing going through that process, learning how to do that, learning how to empower myself and my body. And it was very fulfilling and very empowering for me to do that. But it started on this journey, or started me on this journey of thinking about, okay, I was so fulfilled and so just like lit up when I was learning about how to do that and preparing for it. And I had a purpose every single day of like, I got to do these things to prep my body, to prep my mind for doing this unmedicated birth. And then I did it. And then I was like, well, okay, now what? Like, now I feel really, I don't have a purpose. And now I'm back to, what's the point? What am I here for? I've not handled emotions very well as a mother. And I really feel guilty. There's guilt about what my kids have had to see me go through. But my husband, who I love dearly, he, again, just has this mindset that he's very capable of finding happiness where he's at, anything he's doing. I mean, he was in the Navy for 11 years, and most people who are in the Navy, it's like the bane of their existence. They're doing it for the money. They're doing it until they retire so they can get that big paycheck at the end, right? But it's not like they're loving their life. They hate it. You know, most people, I don't want to speak for everybody, but most people, they hate it. There are so many people who go through depression in these programs that the Navy puts people through. And my husband is this shining bright light through all of it. He's just happy. He loves, I mean, like, sure, it wasn't what he wanted to do for the rest of his life, but he was happy. He was good. You know, that being said, he started his business recently and he found a mentor through various avenues that kind of like led him to him. So he found this mentor who helped him find greater purpose in his current business that he owns. Because I'm not sure what exactly led him to it, but he found this mentor. And this mentor is really a life coach, but he's a life coach for corporations. And when my husband started talking to me about what this life coach was teaching him, like finding his greater purpose, like what does he really want out of life? Like not just money. You don't just want money. What do you want? Why do you want money? Like what is going to be different when you have money? So he was able to find some of these answers to these questions and he was sharing his experience with me. And I was just like, I want that. I want to feel more fulfilled. I want a purpose. Like I want to know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Because right now I just feel like I'm raising kids. I'm a mom. That's what I do. You know, there's something else inside of me that wants to get out and I don't know what that is. And I want to find it. And so I met with this mentor and I've gone through this journey over the past couple of months. And Michael can attest to this as well. And we don't like the phrase, I'm a different person, because it's not exactly accurate. You're who you are and who you always been, right? Like you are who you are and you're just peeling back the layers and letting who you are on the inside shine. But it was a shift and it is like I'm a different person. I have more energy. I have more ambition. I am happier. I am kinder to my children. I feel more driven and joy in my life than I've felt for years. My family was like astounded. Like my mom was just like, wow, you have your light back, you know? And my husband is just like, man, it's so nice to see you be so happy and enjoying motherhood. Cause I will be honest with whoever is listening and with you, Michael, I didn't like being a mom. I felt very lost being a mom. I didn't feel like that was my calling. And that may, you know, be very upsetting for some people, but I genuinely were just like, my kids, they drive me crazy and I'm just surviving. I'm just trying to get through this. I love my children, but at the same time, I want to like, you know, I don't know. It was just, it was hard, and it's been hard. And now I'm like, wow, I am so much more than all of these labels I was placing on myself. And I can find happiness today, not like when my kids are out of the house, not like if I am doing something that I love or whatever. I was able to go on this journey, and I was able to feel this joy and this shift that Michael has mentioned. And because of that, I've seen many others, you know, friends and family who struggle the same way I was struggling. And I thought to myself, I want to help. I want them to feel how I feel, because the change that I feel was so significant that I just want to share it with everyone and help them see you can do it too. It's not just who I am or how I am. I learned, I had to figure it out, and I want to help you figure it out too, so you can have the joy and you can have fulfillment. You can have what you want, what you're looking for, just as much as I can. And that's what has inspired this podcast. I thought to myself, man, there's got to be so many women, so many mothers who feel lost, who feel like they've gotten caught up in the life of motherhood, or even the life of a woman, and they don't realize their power and their potential because they don't know what their purpose is. And so it was really crazy, because I had this idea of this podcast, and the day after I thought of this podcast, I met up with Michael and his wife over dinner. We were having dinner as friends, and you know, I was asking Michael how he was doing, how I knew he had been wanting to get back into his coaching, and I wanted to know how things were going. And Michael, you brought up potentially, you know, like, I think Remington may have asked you, have you ever thought of doing a podcast? And you were like, yeah, I have. And so I was like, hey, I just had this idea for this podcast. Would you want to work with me on this? And, you know, of course, Michael can tell you, he was waiting for something like this to come along. And I think, as Michael was saying, there are no accidents. There are no coincidences, right? We came together that day after I had that feeling, and it was like, no, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We need to do this together. And I love, and I'm so grateful, because Michael has years of experience being a life coach and training people through finding their purpose, finding fulfillment, finding their greater self. And I've only had this for, you know, a few months. So I'm super grateful that Michael's willing to work with me to reach some of these guests that need that. They're looking for some greater purpose in their life.
To add to what you said, you're talking about Remington, and he is an example. I used to, when I would have these big groups of people, ask them, are you vision-driven or circumstance-driven? And some people live their life based on circumstances. Now, I want to talk about my parents. I love my parents. They were great parents. They were wonderful. They did the best they knew how to do based on their life experiences, but they grew up in the Depression. So at the time when they were growing up, everything was about circumstances. We can't do this. We can't do this. We can't do this. There's no money. We can't afford it. We'll do it someday. My parents lived in a very someday world. Now, we had a great life growing up. Don't get me wrong, but they always dreamed of traveling. We'll do that someday when we get the bills paid, when we retire. So in 1998, they were at a point where they were going to travel, because now circumstances have lined up to support them. So they went out and bought a Ford Explorer. It's the first time they bought a new car, probably since 1968, when they bought a new Volkswagen Bug. So this is 30 years. Well, about March, my mother started feeling tired. To go to the doctor, they'd run tests, you know, but she's looking forward to the travel they're going to do. Well, they couldn't figure out. But in April, they did a test on her, and they're going to get the results on this. It was a Monday. And so the night before, my parents lived an hour away from me, but I went over to see her. And when I came home, I told my wife, she has cancer. And anyway, the next day, they found out she's got stomach cancer. It's terminal. They gave her a year to live. She mercifully died 2 weeks later. But the point of that is, they never got to do the travel, because someday never came. And you talk about Remington, that he finds happiness in the Navy. I know some people that were in the Navy that found something else. You know, you find what you're looking for, basically. They were looking where happiness wasn't. Remington was looking and finding happiness where others never looked. So he was vision-driven. In other words, his vision was not going to be overwhelmed by the circumstances. The circumstances are what they are. He deals with the circumstances where other people, the circumstances deal with them. So in this whole podcast thing, to me, part of it is supporting people and realizing, tapping into their vision, they deal with circumstances rather than the circumstances dealing with them and dictating their life choices.
Yeah, something that I think it's a common thing, but I love just understanding and really feeling like life does not happen to you. It doesn't happen to you. It happens for you. And when you realize that, when you realize life is happening for you, you can change the script. You can change your circumstances. You can start to understand that, okay, I have control over how I respond to certain things, and therefore I can kind of control what's happening around me because I can control myself. And I think we'll touch on this a little bit more in another episode, but that is power. When you can understand that life's happening for you, every experience that you have, even the negative ones, you're growing, you're learning, you're changing, you're becoming more of who you are. And it's one of my favorite coin terms of, you know, life happens for you. It doesn't happen to you. It happens for you.
Well, years ago, I felt like I wanted to put a forgiveness process in the trainings I did and didn't have one. So something came to me and I did it. But one of the things I realized in that was everything in life that has gone on in your life has not happened to you. It's happened for you. But you look back on your life and some people have had some pretty interesting things. I mean, things that people would judge as horrible. Or, you know, like a baby died or something like that. In my experience, everything happens for a reason, for a lesson that we ask for. But people balk at that because they say, well, I didn't ask for my baby to die. No, you didn't. Probably not. Hopefully you didn't. But you did ask for a lesson, and this overwhelming universe or God or whatever knows more than we do and knows that the place we are at in that time of life, that is the perfect way for that lesson for both us and for, let's say, a baby died. Maybe that baby fulfilled its purpose just by being born. And we don't know those things, but we hold on to, oh, it was wrong, it was bad that my baby died. And in forgiveness, it's letting go of that so we can learn the lesson and
right.
Not judging the things that happen as good or bad. They just were situations.
But as it is.
It's the lesson I asked for. But we get kind of, people would go, well, I didn't ask for that. No, you didn't ask for that situation, but you did ask for the lesson. And then they would ask me, well, what's the lesson? It's like, well, that's not for me to know. That's for you to know. But you've been so busy resisting it because you've been judging the experience that you're not going to learn the lesson. So even in the now and the future, if something comes up and it's a roadblock, it's not a roadblock. It's an opportunity for a lesson. What's the lesson? I don't know. I can't answer that.
Yeah.
That's for you or me or whatever. When I lived in Kaysville, I had to drive down to Salt Lake City to do training. And one Saturday, I just assumed traffic would be fine. And I get on the freeway, and I don't know if you're familiar with Kaysville. I think you grew up in that area, didn't you? Yeah.
My parents are in Kaysville right now.
Yeah, you go on at the Farmington on-ramp, and there is not another exit for 5 miles. Mm-hmm. Not till you get to Centerville. And I get on the freeway. It's Saturday. You know, I always gave myself twice as much time to get to the training center just because I wanted to get to be on time. But traffic was at a standstill. Of course, my first reaction was, oh, and I was sitting there fuming. Let's go, I got to get there. And then some hit me and I stopped and I paused. And I cannot answer for everybody around me, but everybody's there for a lesson. It's different lessons for everybody, but we're all in traffic, probably screaming and cussing and all that kind of stuff, angry and we're resisting the lesson. But anyway, I stopped and I went, what's the lesson for me? And in that moment, traffic moved. Now, I'm not saying everybody in every car stop and surrender to the lesson at the same time. I don't know. Who knows? But I swear, I was like, wow, how much time do I waste resisting, which all resistance creates is resistance. And then when I just let go, I'm not saying I've got that down. I'm still learning this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But in that moment, it just traffic moved. There are no accidents.
Right. There's a couple of experiences I have with that, but one really powerful one that I think of when you talk about surrendering and just accepting what happens to you. When I was preparing for my natural birth with my baby, that was the theme. I think a lot of women could probably relate to this if they've ever experienced childbirth, but it's painful. And I just remember I was kind of scared because I had never done it without an epidural before. And one of the biggest lessons that they taught in my birthing classes was you just have to accept it. You have to know that this is normal. This is natural. Your body is creating life right now. It's kind of going into another world and pulling your baby down and, you know, then it's in your arms type of thing. And they're like, you have to embrace it. You can't resist it, because if you resist it, you're not going to have your baby. You're not. That's why a lot of times there are C-sections and, you know, things like that that happen is because people are resisting that. They're resisting pain. There are other reasons why. But if you can't relax, if you can't accept the contractions and accept what's happening to you, your cervix is going to open up and your baby's not going to come out. You're going to have to do it a different way. And so that was my mantra the whole time when I was, you know, in labor and everything, was just like, accept. Accept what's happening to you is natural. It's okay. And so I like that idea of, in life, we're given these challenges, we're given these hard times for a purpose. We're becoming stronger. So another example that I can think of that was given by, I heard it on a podcast, was trees. Trees need wind. They need wind. They need to be blown about. They need resistance to get stronger. And how much more true is that for us as people? Trees need to be blown about one way or another so that their roots can grow stronger and they can become bigger. So without the wind, they wouldn't have any strong roots. There was a test done where they grew trees in an environment where there was no wind. And then they removed the barrier and let the wind come in, and the trees fell over like so fast. And so it's kind of an analogy of, like, if we don't have resistance, if we don't have things that are hard for us, like we need those things in our journey to become who we are and become stronger, become better. The only way we can do that is if we accept it and embrace it.
Absolutely. You know, over the years, the reason people had such fulfilling experiences in the trainings I did, the reason I had fulfilling experiences, because every single training was a challenge for me. I mean, I'd walk into a room of maybe 100 people. I don't know who they are, why they're there. And so I'm walking into an unknown. I know I've done this before, but that's with other people. These people are not the same people. And it's not just a lecture. It is an experiential challenge. And if you think about it, you know, people will talk all the time to say, you know, we are this, we are this, we are this. And we'll say, I know, I know, I know. But that's really theory. Until we challenge ourselves to discover that, to experience it, so we can know it. And that's a very different thing. But we know that we understand the theory of it, but we don't know necessarily until we experience it, the truth of it. You know, we know, we talk about love. Yes, I want to be loved. But until you experience love, it's just a theory. Or until you experience your power, it's just a theory. I can say we're all more powerful than we believe. You're more powerful than you believe. I have experienced it up to a point where I am. You've experienced up to a point. But to say you're greater than that, now you're going into an unknown. You don't know. And so that's why you got to keep challenging yourself so that you can know it. there's a big difference between, to me, between the theory of it and the actual realization of it. And that comes through experience, challenging.
And the feelings.
In the title of this is Journey to Inner Peace. You know, that starts looking within. But I know there's some other things I've experienced over life that are tools to assist us. Years ago, I got in with a group of young people, and we had a lot of fun, dances and things like that. But every once in a while, we do a service project. And I'd always come home from the service project. You go do things like clean up somebody's yard, paint their house, things that if my dad asked me to do that, I'd be like, nah, I don't want to do that. But going and doing it with other people, I would always come home fulfilled. And it was just weird to me. It's like I'm going out and doing something my dad can't get me to do, but I'll go do it with these other people. And part of the fun was the people. But I came home fulfilled. And why is that? Well, because we were doing service. And I have been learning over the years that when you do a true service, as distinguished from just an act of service, in other words, if you do service to be seen and have others give you accolades, okay. But when you do it just out of the inside of you to give to somebody, you actualize some endorphins in you that are 300 times more powerful than a lot of the psychotropic drugs that are given out for depression. You actualize, turn on the start button for dopamine, and I can't remember the other one, but maybe it's just endorphins. But those things start to activate by an act of service. I mean, a true act. Like, you know, we're in northern Utah, it snows, of course. I knew people that would shovel my walk, and that was nice. But they'd always let me know they did it. Okay. But when you shovel a walk and you don't care if anybody, you do it because you want to do it, then that's what I mean by service. I mean, it's nice they did it.
It's my mindset coach, he calls it serving without attachment.
Yeah.
Doing it, and this is going to sound counterintuitive, but doing it because you want to, doing it for yourself, mm-hmm. rather than doing it because somebody else wants you to. Mm-hmm. Doing it because you feel like you have to, right? And there's a huge shift when you do that. And that's something I've had to learn as a mom. That was one of the steps I had to take, was because, man, there were so many days when I would just be like, I'm just giving of myself. I'm always giving like everything that I have to my kids. And I'm just, oh, you know, my kids get to go have fun. My husband gets to go have fun with all these adventures. And I'm stuck here with the baby, or I'm stuck here doing dinner or cleaning up, or, you know, I never get to do all of those things that they get to do because I'm always taking care of everything else. And I felt really bitter about it. And then my mindset coach was like, you are doing it for the wrong reasons. You're doing it because you want somebody to recognize you. You want somebody to tell you, oh, you're so great. Thanks so much for dinner. Or mom, you're amazing. He's like, stop. You're looking on the outside. You're looking on other people to help you feel fulfilled. And he's like, that's when service doesn't do anything for you. And he was like, but when you serve without attachment, when you serve because you genuinely want to, and another thing that he was like, man, it's a blessing that you're asked to do these things, that you are called upon to, because you have more tasks than other people. You should count that as a blessing, because that's an opportunity for you to serve, but serve without attachment. Do it because you want to, because it fulfills you, not because you want others to recognize you or because you have to, because you don't have to do anything. We're going to learn that, but you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And
everything, you know, is a choice.
Everything is a choice. Yes. But when you realize that you're choosing to do that, it's coming from you. You are doing that, and do it without attachment. Do it without the expectation that somebody needs to reciprocate. Somebody needs to recognize you. Just do it because it's what feels right. It's what you want to do. And I'm still working on that. I'm not perfect at it. There are still plenty of times when I'm like, oh, I don't want to do these dishes. Everybody else is doing fun things and I don't want to do this. But it's been a powerful shift. And when I'm reminded of it, it's like, oh gosh, yeah, I need to just like really internalize that. Like, remember, I don't have to do this, but I get to do this because I want to, not because I have to.
when you quote unquote do something for other people, but there's a hook in it, in other words, they owe you, you're not giving, you're taking, because you're creating a void that now you want them to feel obligated to fill. And the act is the same, but the energy behind it is very, very different. There's an energy of giving and an energy of taking, such that you can feel it with people. It's something you learn. But when somebody says, I want to do this for you, and sometimes you feel like, no, and you don't really consciously know why, but something says, no, thanks. And, you know, it's not an ingratitude. It's just something feels off. It tells you maybe there's something there that they're going to do this, but then you're going to owe them. Where if somebody is genuinely giving, actually by saying yes to that, you are a giver too, because you're giving an opportunity for somebody to be in service. Giving is a constant giving and receiving. People have a really tough time with receiving, but if you don't receive,
you're robbing somebody
the opportunity to give.
Yeah, I like how you're saying when there's hooks in it, you can feel it. When there's a hook in it of I'm doing this for you, but I expect something in return, you can feel it. And that's why I think there's a lot of resistance to accepting help, because you're like, well, I don't want to owe them anything, you know?
But it's easy to recognize that. And we can recognize energy. I mean, I have this little mantra, energy doesn't lie, people do. You know, somebody says, I'm going to do this for you. Okay, that's the word. That's the words. The energy is okay or no. And I could be off. I could be wrong when I'm either way. But giving is more than just the act itself.
Right.
It is the energy behind it, which creates a fulfillment in all parties involved.
Right. And I mean, like, that's such a thing for moms especially, is just like we feel like we're always giving. And I think sometimes we put hooks in it. Sometimes we are like, oh, we're always giving, but we want something in return. We're so exhausted. We're really used up right now and nobody is being grateful. You know, I made 2 or 3 different meals for my children because they didn't like what I made them. And I'm really upset about the fact that they're not grateful to me. And
he would say, when I was a kid, my mom would say, fine.
I mean, at that point, it's just like, yeah, I'm doing it because I want to. I mean, that's such a hard concept, I think, for at least young moms to learn, is just like, you got to let that go. You got to let the expectation that you need them to be grateful. You need them to do those things, because you're never going to feel satisfied in what you're doing. And that's something that I am still constantly learning.
Can I throw one more example in there?
Absolutely.
When I go to Charleston to do my thing, the tours I give, there's not very many, but there's a few people that are begging. And when I go by, I really work to feel what to do. Because sometimes I could say, here's $20. But that whole thing is, there's a hook in it. Not for them, but that people see me and look at you. Or I go tell somebody, you know, guess what I just did? I just gave that guy $20. And so, like, give me a little sugar here. You know, aren't I good? Aren't I a wonderful
person?
Pat
yourself on the back, yeah.
But I also, at times, I don't always do it. I give by not giving. Now, that sounds strange, but my heart says, no, that's not going to serve the higher good right now for this person. But when I give, and some people have seen it or, you know, said something, and they say, how do you know he's not going to go buy cigarettes with that? And in giving, it's not for, you know, when you're talking about you do this for your kids and they don't, you know, sometimes appreciate it. You give, and it doesn't matter what they do if we're giving. So if he goes buy cigarettes, you know, he goes and buys cigarettes, or if he buys alcohol, whatever, that's not for me. All there is for me is to look inside and say, what serves the highest good right now? Yeah. You know, you ask yourself, what serves the highest good? And if you're in the space of giving, it really doesn't matter what they do. It's unconditional. I mean, you think about God, if you believe in God. Now, you live in the beautiful desert, but I bet you there's times you go outside and you don't appreciate it. You just get your car and do what you do. But you don't go out the next day and that's all gone. You know, I don't think God goes, well, fine. know, I'm going to take it back.
Right.
It's still there always. Or I live with the, you know, near a beautiful ocean, or, you know, the trees and the greenery. It's always there. I don't always appreciate it, but that higher being or power is unconditional in the giving. We can do with it what we want, but it doesn't stop the giving. And that's sometimes a hard lesson for us to, we resist that one because it's like, I mean, there is a point where you go, you know what, maybe it's better served to go over here and give than over here, but you still give. It's just, you know, maybe in a different space.
You let go of the attachment. Yeah. And I think there's a lot, we could go into that a lot with the given that we have, the things that we have that are given, that they're not just taken away. There's a couple like I think love is kind of a given and people think that it's earned, but we want our listeners to know that we're here to serve without attachment as best we can. We're here because we want to be uplifting. We want to be a light in other people's lives. We want to change people's lives for good. We want them to be able to change them. And we're on this journey. I am on this journey. I'm very new to this journey, but I'm very grateful because I've felt so much more peace and joy as I've been through this journey, which is why I want to share it with others. And that's what we're here. We're here to share that with others. And Michael has tons of experience. I'm so excited to get some more perspective and some more tools in my toolbox of how we can develop ourselves and find our greater self, right? And feel more fulfilled. It's a journey. And we are continually becoming something more. And it will always be a journey. But I'm excited because there's ways that we can be happy today, be happy now, have joy now, not when something happens. And I'm excited to share that with our listeners. And I'm grateful for Michael for being here to help us do that. And we're excited for you guys. Michael, did you want to say anything else?
Just to add to your point, yeah, we can't do it for you. That's the good news. And that's the bad news. Because we don't control you. We don't have power over you. You do. So that's the good news. And that's the bad news. Because if something isn't working, you have all the power to shift it. We don't. So, I mean, I've got power over my life. Alyssa has power over her life. But as far as we can't do it for you, thankfully, because it's enough of a challenge for me to run my own life without trying to run everybody else's.
Right. I love the reason why we named our podcast You Already Are is this is focused on you, on our listeners, on you and you becoming who you already are. And maybe that's something that's been overshadowed by your circumstances and overshadowed by things that have happened to you. But we're here because of you, which is why we named our podcast, You Already Are. We are so grateful that you guys have tuned in and listened to us. We are set up on Facebook and Instagram. If you guys want to reach out, we'd love to hear some feedback. We'd love to hear some of your guys' journeys, some experiences that you guys have had. It helps our content. And it helps us grow. We are so grateful that you guys have tuned in and listened to us. And we are looking forward to hearing from you guys soon. Thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. Remember, you already are everything you aspire to be. Continue this journey and embrace the beauty it brings. Create the life you desire. And remember your infinite worth and infinite potential. Until next time. Live as though you already are.